my relationship with Butte kind of grew organically. I moved into Butte because I had been living at the Indiana University Geologic Field Station, and when that effort was over, I could either move back to Denver and work hard to pay the rent or move into Butte and live cheaply. And I did that and had no clue whatever that I was going to fall in love with Butte history, with Butte people. I did some volunteer work at the mining museum, and one thing led to another. That led me into the building preservation people, that led me into the tour people, that led me to the Maywa. It all just happened. And as I started learning things, which I did not know, I promise you, I guarantee, I didn't know anything about Butte history. Yeah, there's a copper mine over there. That's about it. I mean, really, literally. So I started learning things like 3,000 people marched down this street that I walked down, that I crossed just this morning walking over here, and that was for some big funeral or something like that. And I, really? Why? Well, that's what really got it started. So that was the captivating thing, those kinds of learning of events that do have international repercussions that happened right here in Butte in places where I go all the time.
What are some more of those, some highlights that you found in your research that are particularly fascinating?
Well, when it comes down to it, you start finding about famous people. Carrie Nation, the lady with the hatchet smashing whiskey barrels. No great surprise that she came to Butte, but she was in this building, the Carpenters Union Hall, giving her white slavery, which they meant prostitution, anti-alcohol, anti-gambling, anti all the fun stuff, speeches right here in this building. So she came through the door that I came through. And that was probably one of the first attention getters. But then people maybe not quite as famous, except maybe this year they are, people like Frank Little, the Union martyr. But others that just came to Butte because it was the place to come. It was the largest city in a huge, vast area between Minneapolis and Spokane. It was not just an industrial place, it was a cosmopolitan, as everybody knows, multi-ethnic, but also high class, cultural, opera houses, things like that. It was everything. It's boggling what Butte was and what it really still is.
Do you think there's risk of falling prey to some nostalgia for a place that will never exist again?
I think so, yeah, for sure there is. Nonetheless, it isn't just nostalgia, it is certainly pride. Butte has more pride than probably anywhere I've ever been, sometimes a little bit misplaced even, but on the whole, it isn't misplaced. It's rational pride in what it was and still is. Butte is not a museum. No, it is certainly not. And I don't subscribe to the idea of try to save everything. Well, maybe try, but you know you're going to fail in saving everything. But Butte's history, which is expressed in its buildings, to me is what we have to trade on. And the history and the stories that are connected, I know from experience of talking to literally thousands of people on the trolley and on the walking tours and whatever, they are blown away. They are absolutely blown away when they start hearing about Butte. They almost literally can't believe it.